I want to talk to you about something that's unavoidable today. First, though, how about a few dad jokes in honor of daylight savings time being taken away from us? How many of you are glad you got the extra hour? Yeah, I love the extra hour. That didn't hurt my feelings at all. Here's five, my top five dad jokes about clocks. So that, in other words, they're groaners, all right? What does a clock do when it's hungry? It goes for seconds. Why didn't the clock work? It needed a hand. At what time does a duck wake up? At the crack of dawn. You're allowed to guess. How do you know if your clock is crazy? Yeah, there you go. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. What time is it when you find an elephant in your car? It's time to get a new car. Yeah, that's a good one. Now, this isn't a clock one-liner, but I like this one. So it's just one of those one-liners. My boss told me to have a good day, so I went home. I like that one. Most of you know that I respond to have a good day, which is said to us every time we go through the line at a store anymore. Just seems like everybody always says, have a good day. And when someone says, have a good day, I always respond with, it's unavoidable. And that's because I believe that every day is made by God, and I believe that if the day was made by God, then he made a good day. I don't think he made bad days and you know, so-so days. I don't think he ever pulled a day out of the day of and went, ooh, that's a little burnt. Well, I'll just send it on him. That's not who God is. And so a lot of times I'll say, it's unavoidable to that statement, have a good day. I'll just smile and say, it's unavoidable. And sometimes they'll look at me. Sometimes they just like keep doing their thing because they got a job, you know, sometimes. Sometimes they look up at me and go, well, I'll sometimes explain it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. He gave you a good day today. And it gave me a good day, and I'm not going to let anybody mess it up. I'm going to take the day. It's my day. It's the day that he gave to me. I'm not going to let anybody mess this day up. So I've gotten to the point where I say that a lot. Now, the Lord has said some things that are kind of unstoppable, undeniable. And there are some things that are unavoidable in our lives. I'm going to read to you from Genesis. So if you want to go to Genesis 1:1, I'm going to start right there. I don't often do this, but let's just read this chapter together. And beginning in verse 1, very familiar. And some of you might just want to listen, but you know where it is. Most of you can find Genesis 1:1 anyway, right? An easy one today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, just pay attention real quick. And God said, every time I say and God said, just think about what God said. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky, and evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let ground, dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, have you noticed that God keeps saying stuff? Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the sky or from the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. And so God created the great creatures of the sea and everything with which the water teems, and that moves about it, according to their kinds, every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and the birds increase on the earth, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. We're getting through this, the whole chapter. And God said, and let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. What's the next line? And God said, there's a theme here. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And of all of the beasts of the earth and all of the birds of the sky and all of the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that all that he had made, that it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So God said a lot. And everything God said came to pass. Did God say anything and it failed to come to pass? No. Everything God said happened. Happened just the way God said it. God declares something, and it's going to happen. I want you to think about that very clearly. When God said, let there be light, could anything have held back the light? No. Once God says it, the light's coming. That's the way it's going to be. So now, here at the change of time again, this is the better of the two. You know, sleeping in's not a bad deal. I did hear a person who said, though, when you're in the spring, don't forget, when you're in the spring, just remember, you got to move the clock forward an hour. But that just means breakfast is coming sooner. Here you go. Put a good spin on it if you can. Have you ever wanted to stop the day from coming? I think probably all of us have had days that we were looking forward to, couldn't wait till they got here. You know, people are counting down Christmas right now. Who knows? How many days till Christmas? What? Nobody's going to tell me. I thought somebody would I forgot to look. It's getting close. Well, the kids are all in children's church. That's why we don't know. How many of you, though, besides looking forward to certain days, you've had certain days like, I knew this day was going to come. And you don't mean so much that the day is bad when you say that. I realize that. You just knew the time would come when something had to happen, and you weren't exactly looking forward to it. And so we've had those times when we would have loved to have stopped the day from coming, but you know what? God set this into motion. He said, and ever since he said, it has been going on. Like clockwork. Even if they try to change it by an hour. Mess with God's time. It just keeps coming. We can't postpone things. Some things are unavoidable. Does it make sense? All right. So tomorrow's coming. You can't keep it from coming. So then I was looking in this chapter and I noticed all these things that God said that were unavoidable, undeniable, unstoppable. And I started noticing that God said something about you in this chapter and me. God said something about us in this chapter. God declared, think about this, that we would be fruitful and multiply. We were created to bring forth increase on the earth. And I think that the fact is, your increase is as unavoidable as the sunrise. I don't know, Pastor. Now that's kind of a stretch for me. Yeah, well, I'm going to stretch you a little bit today. What if fruitful and multiply in your life is as unavoidable as the sunrise? You maybe never thought of that before. But when God speaks, he sets something into motion. And something that God sets into motion will become a reality. And we can't stop that reality, just like we can't stop the days from coming. So what if I told you that our lives sometimes matter more than we realize they do? What if I told you that sometimes the way we look at our lives, we think that, well, I'm not important or what I do isn't important. Remember earlier when we were doing the offering reading and I said, hey, pay attention to this offering reading today. I am powerful and what I believe changes the world. I believe we're going to bring increase whether we like it or not. The question is not, in fact, whether or not we will be fruitful or whether or not we will bring increase. The question is what fruit we will bear and what increase we bring to the earth. What do you mean? Every day we each bear fruit. The fruit of our lives is evident in everything we do. What's increasing? Matthew 12:33, interesting verse. Make a good tree and its fruit, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. This verse points out a simple reality. Fruit happens. There's another bumper sticker, but we won't talk about that. But fruit happens. It's the nature of everything to bear fruit, in a sense, to increase, to bring forth something. As long as we are living, we will naturally bring forth fruit of our lives. Jesus wasn't making this point about apples and oranges, by the way. He was making this point about us. The very next verse after the one I just read says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whatever's going on in here is going to get out of here. That bothers me because sometimes I hear things coming out of my pie hole and I'm thinking, hey, 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 hey. Straighten up. You, right there, you. Straighten up. And I do need to straighten up. That is, by the way, not a bad thing in the sense that it's a good thing. It's a gift from God. Isn't it wonderful that God loves me so much that he actually gave me ears so I could hear what was coming out of my mouth? And those ears hear what's coming out of my mouth, and I suddenly realize, hey, hey, hey. That's why I believe in praying out loud. Some people say, can you pray in just your heart? I found two places in the Bible where prayer wasn't out loud. One was a situation where the servant of I think it was Isaac, was looking for a wife for Isaac's son. Or was it Abraham looking for Isaac's wife? Anyway, this servant, he says, Lord, if this is the right, in his heart, if this is the right person, let her do this or that. And she did, and he knew. And I think that kind of has a place. I also saw another place in the Bible where someone prayed actually under their breath. They were mumbling, and the priest thought that she was drunk and said, stop being drunk, you silly woman. She was just hurting because she was praying for a child. But you look in the Bible, the prayers in the Bible are out loud. And I believe there's a verbal advantage. When we talk out loud, we hear ourselves say, I've been praying before, and I said something, and I went, wait a minute, Lord. Let me think about what I just asked for right there. That might not have been the most brilliant prayer I've ever prayed. So I'm careful to listen to what's coming out of my mouth. And it could get better. By the way, sometimes stuff comes out of my mouth, and my wife listens to it. And then she tells me, that was stupid, why did you say that? Wives are awesome. So here's what I'm getting at. You are powerful. Every one of you is powerful. And you are going to bear fruit. And there's nothing you can do about it because God said you would, and he set it into motion, and you are going to be fruitful, and you are going to multiply. Whatever's in your life is going to be multiplied out of your life toward others. Look at somebody around you and say, you are powerful. And now tell them, and now I'm really scared. You know, here's the thing. When we're unaware of the power, then we don't understand what might be going on in our lives. I think that we think that what we say isn't important, or what we do even sometimes isn't important. Nobody will care anyway. It's kind of the attitude that we take. And I get it. Too often we think that what I'm doing isn't going to make a difference, positive or negative. Who cares? And we risk, as a result of that, becoming careless. Maybe a little haphazard. The enemy of our soul wants us to think that we are not important, so that we think that what we say is not important. But if he can get us to buy into that lie, then we won't become less powerful. The problem is our power may get misused. Let me give you that thought again if I can. If the enemy makes you think that you don't have any power, if he makes you think that what you say or what you do or the way you live isn't important, that nobody's going to care, that it's really not going to affect anybody but you, if you buy into that lie, you don't become less powerful. It's just your power gets diverted to the wrong things. Because you cannot stop but being fruitful and multiplying. You can't. Why? Because he spoke it. When God said, that's it. That's it. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what stage you are in life. It doesn't matter. You're still powerful. You're still going to continue to be powerful. And you need to recognize how powerful you are and say, wow, I have got something fruitful to steward here. I can actually give of the fruit of my life, which God spoke into mankind all the way back at the beginning. You're powerful. And your power is not getting less. See, that's another way the enemy does that. He tries to make us think that we're marginalized. He tries to think this person no longer listens to me, so what I say doesn't matter, or this doesn't matter anymore, or I don't have this job, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not there, or we belittle ourselves. But we don't belittle, we be big. Yeah, we be big. Because God declared it, and it's not going to change. Just a couple of verses after that, or earlier than those last two verses I shared with you in Matthew 12, in verse 30 it says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." In the context of what we're talking about today, suddenly this verse becomes really, really a big deal. Because suddenly I realize, oh yeah, the fruit of my life is either flowing with God or it's probably grinding against God. I don't say that to make us afraid or to make us, now even more angry at ourselves. But see, this is the thing. I want to get me. If you don't get anything out of this, I'm going to get a lot out of this today. I'm going to preach myself happy. Ha! the thing is, if I can flow with what God's doing, then the fruit of my life, which is powerful, does amazing things, maybe more than I even realize. I don't know right now that someone hasn't accidentally come across this on Facebook today and that what they're hearing right now isn't transforming their life. I also don't know that just opening the door down at the store or finding somebody to encourage who looks like they're down. I don't know what the result of that is, but I know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And that when I do that, it begins to flow with what God's up to. And as I flow with what God's up to, amazing things start to happen. You know the devil doesn't have any power. Jesus got it all. All power, he says, is given to me. All authority. So what do you mean the devil doesn't have any power? Well, the devil does find power, but he doesn't really have any. He finds it. He gets us to cooperate with him. He cons us. He uses what belongs to us that was given by God to help accomplish his purposes. When I'm in sync with Jesus, man, the good that can happen. Even if it seems like nobody else is noticing. But when I'm out of sync, I'm still a powerful person. When I'm out of sync, what he made me to be, fruitful and multiply, keeps happening. It's just now I'm multiplying yucky stuff. I can't avoid being powerful. You can't avoid being powerful. Nudge somebody next to you and say, you can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. You're going to go out of here and you're going to be powerful. You're already right here being powerful. Psalm 34. Verses 1 through 4. And as I get ready to go to that, just let me say this about nothing. I cannot sit back and do nothing because my nothing will even bear fruit and increase. Making more nothing. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 4. I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You are a power magnifier. When you let your power be used to magnify the Lord, you give increase that is beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to comprehend. You are crazy powerful. So what are you going to magnify? We live in a time in this country where there are a whole lot of people that are magnifying all sorts of things. And we're getting ready to come up on election. And by the way, I don't know if you need any further thought for election purposes. There are some flyers on the back tables with information that was given to us. And whether that information is perfect or not, I do not know. But I encourage you to read all you can and decide what you're going to do. And I do encourage everybody to vote. I did already. We've gotten in the habit of doing absentee voting. I call it voting in a coffee. You can just sit back, have a nice hot something or other, look at what's on the ballot, take your time, fill it out, make it look really nice. Don't use a felt marker, though, it bleeds through. Anyway, just saying. Not that I did that. Okay. But it's really important, and you are powerful. Your vote's powerful. But we live in a time where all sorts of messages are out there, aren't there? And a lot of people are magnifying a lot of things. Social media magnifies a lot of things, makes it, you know what a magnifying glass does, right? It brings it up closer. I'm like anybody else. I like to post a funny thing to Facebook now and then. I like funny stuff. Funny's good. I like to make people laugh. But I got to be careful. Sometimes I get a little chippy. And I say something maybe that I'm not sure that was the best thing for me to magnify. There's a lot of people out there that are magnifying all sorts of things. I want to be a magnifier of the goodness of God. This world's desperate for people who magnify the goodness of God, who magnify all that God can do for everybody around them. And that's why we live in such a powerful time. You are going to magnify something. It's unavoidable. You are going to magnify something. Something about your life is going to show people more of something. I'm going to, too. That's part of the reason we need each other so bad, because then we can, you know, a lot of people will rub you the wrong way. I want to learn to rub each other the right way. Bible does say, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So, I just want you to know, you are powerful. You are powerful. Beth, you are powerful. And those cupcakes with the little sprinkles of bacon on top, man, was that powerful? That was powerful. Did any of you have those? Oh man, those were just so good. Oh. Well, you know, look at the smiles on the faces of people. I brought that up and people are smiling. You don't think that's powerful? Now some of you are like drooling. You're like, I'm ready for that. Bob, you're powerful. I really appreciate you jumping up here the last few weeks and just filling in holes for us and everything. He's a powerful man. Yeah, come on. Praise God. Julie, you're powerful. You've helped a lot of people enter into a level of freedom that they wouldn't have had otherwise had they not come in and done sozo. And that's powerful. And those who've worked with you, thank you. Thank you. And our church may not like be filled with people who had that experience. It's funny, so many people come to our church from outside of our church, you know, and experience that. But it's powerful. It's made a difference in the kingdom. Sue, you're powerful. You're a big deal. How many of you know Sue's a big deal? Yeah. She is. And the more she realizes what a big deal she is, because God said you were, not because it wasn't anything you did. It wasn't anything I did that got me in this spot. We don't, but God, He says things and then things happen. It's amazing. It's amazing. Kurt, you're amazing. And he's come here so many times over the years. All the years that I've been here, Kurt's been the guy who helped make sure our computer stuff worked. And we made sure it didn't work a lot of times, didn't we? Oh, man. Just download the wrong thing, and the next thing you know, whoop, Kurt, help. I could go around this room and talk about every one of you, because I know something about every one of you. And I don't know the full story, but you're more powerful than I could ever begin to say. You're more powerful than I could ever begin to explain. I don't know that you understand, or I understand, seriously, how unavoidable the fruit of our lives is, and how powerfully it is going to come forth. No matter what we do, we cannot stop it. And by the way, that's why I'm desperate. Oh, Lord, help me stay in line with you. Help me stay lined up with you, because my life is going to do something powerful, and I want it to be you. I want it to be the Lord. I don't want to be known as that guy who's down at the corner, whose voice carries, and who is yelling on a summer day at some poor kid in a convertible who was texting and not moving, and the light was green. And my powerful voice said, "What's wrong with you?" I don't want to be that guy. <That's awesome. laughs> How many of you have that problem sometimes? Confession's good for the soul. I want you to be the one who knows that they are powerful. I want you to be the one who knows they are powerful. Not that you go around thinking you're all that in a bag of chips because of it, but that you realize, you know, I'll just tell you this. People who are powerful, who really are powerful, when they get around other people who are powerful, they stay humble because they realize the power of the other people. People who aren't powerful, but they get around powerful people, they want to be, "I'm important, notice me." When you know you're powerful, you carry it with humility and you recognize, I have to be careful about stewarding this and doing it in the right way. I believe you will. I believe you will. I believe you'll steward it. I believe you'll be the one who knows they're powerful, and you'll be the one who recognizes that you're making a difference. And you'll be careful to make a difference that'll glorify God. Amen.